like this morning to invite you over to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 17 reads this way. It says, "And Jesse said unto David his son, Take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn, and these 10 loaves, and run unto the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their thousand, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning. Again, we thank you for the privilege of gathering together as your people, and Lord, for your promise, where two or three are gathered together, there are you in the midst. And so we thank you, Lord, for your presence here this morning. We also ask you for the blessing of the Holy Spirit to fill us, to guide us into all of your truths, that we might hear from you and worship you in truth and in spirit, that you might be honored and glorified and our lives drawn closer to you. And Lord, if there's one or even more than one in our midst that does not know you as Savior, we ask, Lord, that you would give them the conviction of the Holy Spirit to see their need and to trust you as their personal Savior, that they might enjoy what you've given to us. Lord, I pray that you bless your word today, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is About the Father's Business. About the Father's Business. And if our focus is to be about the Father's business, we'll be assured to honor him and to be found faithful when he returns. So that's a good thing to do, and to experience his grace in our lives that substantiates our faith. And what I mean by that is as you see all these different individuals that by faith they serve the Lord, they experience God's grace. We think of the three Hebrew children. By faith, they would not bow down to a false idol. And what happened? They were threatened with their lives by being thrown into the fiery furnace. And they said, by faith, listen, O king, we don't even have to think about this. We've already made up our mind a long time ago that we would only worship the one and only true God, the God of Israel. And with that, King Nebuchadnezzar was fit to be tied. I mean, if you could see his face, it probably was red, beet red, and probably steam shooting out of his ears. He was so mad that he took his best military men to throw these, bind these three Hebrew children up. And as they were throwing them into the fire, his men died. They got burned up. And then all of a sudden, Nebuchadnezzar looked and said, hey, didn't we throw three guys in there? I see four, and the fourth one looks like to be the Son of God. Wow. How did he see that? Because these Hebrew children were willing to make a stand. God wants you and I to make a stand. And he's given to us his word that gives us so much guidance and understanding. And we need to be careful. We're going to see some truths today that God wants us to adhere to and understand, that we might walk in those things, those truths. But if we're not careful, sometimes we're kind of funny. We can hear some good information and understand some things, and just like that, forget all about it. You ever have that happen? Some years ago, back after World War II, there were some great things that were taking place as far as technological advances, and some other countries getting some technological advances that they didn't have in previous years. And so after World War II, over in Greece, they had a dictator over there. And one of the things that they had received was that these hydroplanes that could take off and land on the water. And so this lieutenant that was the test pilot was flying it and practicing with it, and had gotten accustomed to the way that it flew, because it flew a little bit differently with the landing gear being different and everything, of course, landing on the water. And they had this big day, this big time, where the dictator came out and wanted to take a ride in this new plane, this new seaplane. And so they go up in the seaplane, and while they're up there, the dictator says to the lieutenant, I would like to fly this plane. And he was all nervous about it, and he was thinking about what to say. And what do you say to a dictator? Yes, sir. You know, sure, whatever. So that he took over the controls, and the lieutenant was pleasantly surprised that he was an aviator, that he was able to handle the airplane and fly it well. He flew it quite well. But, you know, it came time to land, and he was making his approach, except for he was landing on the airstrip. He flew over Greece, and he was going to land that airplane on the airstrip, and this lieutenant was, how do I tell this dictator here that you're not supposed to land this plane? We're going to crash here. And so finally he said, sir, we're not supposed to land on this airfield here. And he reminded him it was a hydroplane. And with that said, the dictator increased the speed and took up and went off and flew back up in the air and handed over the controls back over to that lieutenant. And the lieutenant took it over the water and landed over there in the water and went up by the dock over there. And everything was quiet. The motor got shut off and everything got quiet. And the dictator said to the lieutenant, I cannot believe I forgot that it's a seaplane and I was getting ready to possibly kill us and land on this airfield. And everything got quiet and the dictator quickly opened up the door and stepped out right into the water. How quick we are to gain some information and quickly forget about it and make serious mistakes. God does not want us to do that. God wants us to understand His truths in such a way that they change and guide our lives for His honor and glory. This morning we're going to take a few brief moments here and look at true humility and faith. Will always work inside of God's plan, David's responsibility, and in dealing with oppositions, God's will and way, and then dealing with the enemy. So as we consider these thoughts, realize that God has truths for you and I to understand if we're to walk in His ways and to experience His grace actively involved in our lives. Look at verse 15 with me. It says, "But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem." Now, I want to stop right here, and I want you to realize that David had been in Saul's presence, if you'll remember. If you back up here, you might be surprised to find out something about David. Back up to chapter 16, and look what it says right here in verse 21. "And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly." Notice this, and he became what? David became Saul's what? You see that? His armor bearer. Was David familiar with Saul's armor? Did he not already know? If you know anything about King Saul, he was head and shoulders above everybody. And David's just, he's a youth. He's probably a teenager. And he already knew. Don't you think he handled his armor, if he was the armor bearer? He already knew that this was not going to work. But I want you to notice David's humility, and listen, I think he was very humble when Saul approached him, when he was getting ready to go out against the giant, and Saul offered him his armor, and he tried them on. I think he was being humble, don't you? And be kind. He already knew they didn't work for him, but he was willing to go ahead and honor King Saul and not make him look foolish. As, by the way, as David honored him many times even after that when Saul was after his life. But let's look at verse 15 and 16. It says, "But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem." He was in a nice position there with the king, and now he's humble enough to go back and take care of his father's sheep. "And the Philistines drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. So God is letting us know what has taken place now for 40 days. And then in verse 17, "And Jesse said unto David his son, Take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000, and look now how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge." So he says, you're gonna pay their pledge, you're going to take provisions for them, and you're going to take care of their captain as well. And so this was the father's errand. This is what David's father had asked him to do. Just like God, our Father, says, you know what? I want you to walk by faith. I want you to experience my grace in your life. And so these are the things that every child of God should be pursuing. And the humility of Christ should be our humility. And God wants to make that happen in our lives. And so here we find an example of David. He's willing to go ahead and follow his father's directions. And look at verse 19. "Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. Now, I'm going to give you some conjecture here. Listen, David right now, all he knows what he's doing is he's following what his father had asked him to do. But there was a walk that David had with our Heavenly Father, and I think you're going to find here that David understood what God wanted him to do, and you're going to see this here. As soon as he saw what was happening to his God, that, listen, David was concerned about the reputation of his God. He had care for his brothers and he had respect to his father, but above all things that were important to David was his relationship to his God. And if we will understand, listen, that brings humility. If we will say, we were talking about in Sunday school, you know, this morning about what the world says, what maybe a young believer might invite us to do some things that aren't right in the sight of the Lord. If we would desire to make sure that God's name above all things in our lives would be honored and glorified in our lives, God will direct our paths. If he sees that we have a heart for him, that's what he's looking for. And he should have given us a heart for him if we're saved, because we have great thankfulness or great need of being thankful to our God for the salvation that he's provided to us as believers. And so he's going over here. He sees this gathering together with the Philistines. And notice again in verse 20, it says, "And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren." So David hears what's going on now, or he's seeing anyway what is transpiring here and taking place. He's being very careful with his father's property, is he not? He's making sure that there's a servant, his servant is there. He's leaving it with the carriage. He's doing everything responsibly. And then notice what happens here. And verse 23, "And as he talked with them, behold, there came up this champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistine, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them." I think at this moment, when David heard them, God was telling him what he was going to do. Listen, first of all, David was highly offended at his God being dishonored. Listen, that ought to move the heart of every child of God. When we see our God being blasphemous, that with all due humility, listen, was David showing humility in his life? He was obedient to his father. He was following all of his father's directions. But boy, oh boy, when it came time when the path or the dignity of God's name was being crossed, it bothered David. And so it says here, David heard them here in verse 23, verse 24, "And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid." Now listen, if he didn't get the message before, he's seeing this. Nobody is standing up for God. Do you know Edmund Burke said something wise years ago? "In order for evil to triumph, good men need do nothing." Good men, if they just keep their mouths shut, they will legalize things that should not be tolerated. We will be a laughing stock to the world around us to not stand up for the truth. And if we walk in the truth, guess who's also in the truth? Our God. And so David was determined to walk in the truth. I believe if it wasn't clear before, because no one stood up. David wasn't saying, "Here, I'll go." But he saw that none of them, they were all hiding. They were all afraid to stand up for God. In fact, the Bible says there in verse 24, "And were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, 'Have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up.'" And more important than Israel is the name of our God. "And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel, no taxes. And David spake to the men. Now remember, he came up to meet his brothers. He's talking with his brothers, and then all of a sudden Goliath comes up, and he's now defying the armies of Israel, and of course defying God. And they all run, and David's watching this. And by the way, I think the brothers are in the same boat, don't you? They said they all were hiding. And so David spake to the man. Now his attention's turned from his brothers now to this situation that has taken place, that stood by him, saying, "What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel?" But listen, you think he's concerned about what he's going to get? Look at what he's concerned about there in that verse there at the bottom of verse 26. "For who is this uncircumcised or not in the right covenant, this unbeliever, this Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God?" Israel was important, but more important to David was the living God. That was what was important to him. And so now we find here David is taking responsibility and standing when nobody else is standing. And now we're going to find David here dealing with the opposition. And by the way, listen, whenever we want to do something from the Lord, the opposition, where it comes from, just might surprise you. And so you would have thought everybody would have been on board with David going to fight Goliath. Now, but you have to remember, there's something quite a little bit awkward here to these men of Israel. Here's the armies that are trained to go into battle. And for whatever reason, they were fearful. For 40 days, they didn't get up the gumption to challenge Goliath. And so here comes this young boy, David, and he's willing to do it. So I don't think they expected it to come from David. And by the way, listen, God always uses the weak and beggarly things of this world to honor and glorify his name. And so here's David, willing to make a stand. And God is equipping him because he's a willing servant. And verse 27, "And the people answered him in this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger, listen, was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down hither?" You know, he didn't complain when he came up the first time. He didn't complain when he was giving them food and taking care of their pledges. He already knew why David came, and that was to take care of their well-being from the father, from Jesse. He already knew that. But now all of a sudden, Eliab is losing it because he's not looking so good. Because David, his brother, is willing to do that all the army of Israel should have done. But the problem was, there was not the right relationship between them and their God. God is looking for people who are willing to trust him and walk with him. And then he'll do great things. He's promised that for every believer. It's not an exception. God wants to substantiate and build our faith by a personal experience with him. And so what happens here? Well, notice Eliab's anger is kindled against David there in verse 28. And he said, "Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness?" You know, when people today, you know, and it's not anything new. When people want to get at you, they try to discredit you. And they try to pull up some things that you may have done that everybody has done that wish they'd never done. Make you kind of feel dumb about some things, you know. Listen, shepherd of just a few sheep. He was trying to humiliate David. The only problem was he was already humble. And so he says, "I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou camest down that thou mightest see the battle." Really? Was that what he was concerned about? Or was he concerned about following his father's direction and take care of the well-being of his brothers? That's his purpose. That was his purpose for coming down there. And now all of a sudden, he's seen something even more important, and that was the honor of his God. And there's no doubt in my mind, God had already spoken to him. He's already planning on going down. He's already said, "Who is this man to defy the armies of the living God?" That bothered him because he had a heart for God. I wonder if the things of this world bothered God's people a little bit more maybe we'd have a little bit of a different society that we live in today. But if we just keep our mouths quiet and say nothing, we're going to get run over. But the reason why we keep our mouths quiet is because we don't want to face the opposition. God never said it was going to be easy, but he did say he holds us in his hands and he would never forsake us. And so by faith, we either believe what he's saying or we don't. And in this case, Israel did not trust their God to take care of them. But David did. And so what happens here? Verse 29, and David said, what have I now done? Listen, is there not a cause? What was David's cause? The honor of his God. The honor of his God was David's cause. Listen, this morning, what's our cause? What's our cause? Do you know that we are all leaving this world one day? Maybe sooner than we think, with the Lord's return. I'm okay with that. And in case you wondered, nobody's allowed to go until the Lord comes. Okay? You have to stay here until the Lord comes. But we may stand before the Lord before we know it. And so what ought to be more important to us? The things of this world are truly going to pass away. And God didn't say that we couldn't enjoy the things of this world and of this life. But God said, don't forget me. Remember that I am your God, the God of your salvation. And so that's what David's concerned about here. And he says, is there not a cause? Verse 30, and he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. What's going to be done to this man? And he was going. Listen, he turned away from his brother and he says, there's something more important for me to do, and that is to stand up for my God than to be concerned about your welfare. And obviously, Eliab was more concerned about himself. There was no humility in Eliab. He started falsely accusing his brother of why he was there. And I'm convinced he understood it when he first got there. What David didn't hear was the Philistine making his proclamation that he had made 40 days prior to this time. And that bothered David. And so now his attention has been turned to what's going on concerning his God. And David says this again. What's going to be done to the? I'm going to tell you. David was saying that he wanted the men to know that he had an interest about what was going to happen to this man that would stand. And he was saying the implication was, I'm willing to do that. Look at verse 31 here, as we consider God's will and God's way. God already knew David had a heart to do it. David was making sure that these men that were hearing what he was saying understood that he had a heart. He said, now what's going to be done for this man? Because I want you to know I'm your man. That's what he was saying. How do I know that? Look at verse 31. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. Do you think Saul got the message? Saul was fearful also. So David asked that question twice. What's going to be done for the man? You know what? Listen, I've got an interest to be that man. God is looking for his people to be willing to stand in the gap. Are you one that is willing to stand against a giant in your realm, in your life, in your world, in the influence that you would have for God? He was concerned about it. And so as we consider this, we find here that they got the message quite clearly. Do you think Saul got the message? That he sent for him, didn't he? He knew what David was saying. I will go. I will go. Now remember, he's the tallest guy in all Israel. He looked down on everybody. He's really going to look down on David. I think he was hoping that it was going to be somebody else. And so, verse 32, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart, he sends for him, David shows up, and David's the first one to speak up because David saw the situation. David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Listen to the humility. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. He's humbly coming before King Saul. I want you to know, let no man's heart. Listen, he is the last person Saul ever had. He is the last person that all of Israel would have ever dreamed was going to fight against this Philistine. And by the way, this Philistine was armored from head to toe, except for a little spot right there in his head that he wasn't even concerned about. That giant never saw what was getting ready to come to him. But we go back to Saul and David in verse 33. And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against..." Isn't that how the flesh works? "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth." The devil will come to you the same way. You cannot stand up for God. You don't have the faith of Paul. You don't have the spiritual strength of a David. That's a lie, because it's not the spiritual strength of Saul or David. It's our God. And both Saul and David would have told you that. And so you're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. Verse 34. And David said unto Saul, and listen to this, it's amazing. "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him." Who do you think he's giving credit to? Now, it appears to be at this moment, "Look at what I did." If you were to stop right here, you'd get the wrong message. But notice what happens. He says, "I want you to know that I caught him and I got him by the beard." That wouldn't be a good place. I mean, you're right by his mouth. "And I slew him." And then he said, listen, verse 36, "Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine, this unbeliever, shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." He was concerned about God's reputation. And David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and the paw..." Do you think David believes this? How much did he believe it? 50%? 75%? Or do you believe he wholeheartedly believed that 110%? How? Why? Because David is saying, just as God was with me when nobody was watching, he'll be with me when everybody's watching. Do you know the best place to serve the Lord is right now in our lives when nobody is watching? That's how we'll be able to stand against the wiles of the devil in our everyday lives as we walk in this world. So he said, I want you to know that the Lord..." Look, verse 37, David said, "Moreover..." And by the way, I think he's a little bit excited about telling this story, don't you? I think he's, "Man, let me just tell you what God has done in my life and in the past. I want you to know how I know God is with me. The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go and the Lord be with thee." Now, I want you to see something here. I'm going to tell you just a personal opinion of mine. I believe Saul was a saved man of God and just way out of the will of God. Because the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and he prophesied. I think things were happening, but he is so far removed from God at this point because he had rejected the word of the Lord. He had rejected the direction of God more than once and went his own way. And that, listen, we die spiritually when we walk contrary to the ways of God. We become so far removed and we'll be so cold to the things of God that we might know the spiritual language, but not the experience. Listen to what Saul says. He says to David, "Go and the Lord be with thee." In the next breath, what does he say? Or what does he do? Verse 38, and Saul did what? He armed David with his armor. Listen, "Go and the Lord be with you." Hold on. Wait a minute. So he arms him. Look how silly. Look at the things that we do when we reject the Lord. He's head and shoulders above all of them. Do you think David was swimming in the armor? A little bit? You know, you think the size was just 3 or 4 times too much for David? I had a friend of mine that we made some stilts. I have no idea why we did this, but I was probably about 7 or 8, and he was like a year or 2 years older than me. And we got a pair of my dad's pants. And it was his idea. They were old work pants, black jeans. I remember we put a white shirt on him, and there was a Mexican sombrero hanging on the wall in the garage there. And we built these stilts, and he got up, and he's leaning up against, I've never seen anything with stilts, never did it. I'm telling you, I was about 7 or 8 years old. And he says, this will be a good idea. So we built these stilts, and he stood up on them, and they were probably at least a good foot or more taller, not much more, 2x4s, and then we nailed some more 2x4s on the inside so he could stand on them, and we put them in the pants. And he was in the pants, threw on one of my dad's old white shirts and the sombrero, and he says, now watch this. I'm telling you, I don't think he took one step, and he just went like, and all I saw was a sombrero. And I'm telling you, I died laughing. I said, man, that was the funniest thing I ever saw. I don't think I want to try that. I think if you want to try it, how about without the pants? Because he got locked up and he just went down. He thought it was a good idea. I kind of envisioned David just being overwhelmed with all of this and probably couldn't walk, probably couldn't even take a step. And notice verse 39, and David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go. That means he hesitated, for he had not proved it. And David said, now remember, David was the king's armor bearer before. He knew all this. He let King Saul do this for him. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. I've not, done a test run on these things. And David put them off him. Listen, he was still humble. He didn't say, now, Saul, you just told me here, the Lord be with me, and now you're not displaying faith by giving me something I can't wear. He did not criticize King Saul. He sat there and he let him do this. And there's a battle to be won. There's a battle to be fought. Listen, sometimes was David anxious? He wasn't anxious. I would say David was excited about what God was going to do, but he wasn't anxious. Sometimes we, and I do say we can get anxious. Oh my goodness, the time, Saul, I've got to go. He didn't do that. He took the time, he allowed for the time for King Saul to dress him up with his armor. Isn't that amazing? Sometimes we make things that are not important, urgent, and we forget the important things. Do you know what's more important than what we think is urgent? Our personal walk with God. Our personal relationship with God. Our peace that passes all understanding. If we forget about that, we start getting anxious like the world, and the world doesn't see a bit of difference in our lives. David wasn't concerned about the time. He didn't fear the giant. He said, I know what God's getting ready to do, King Saul. And he did it. King Saul, I know what God's getting ready to do in my life. Why? Because I've watched him do it already. And so, what does David do? Verse 40, and he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. He's drawing near to the Philistine. So what's going to happen? Listen, this is the way God works. And I want you to see how David is going to deal with this enemy. And the Philistine, verse 41, came and drew near unto David. He was waiting. He was waiting for the challenge. Well, here comes the challenge. It wasn't what the Philistine thought it was. So he came and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. Did you see this? Listen. Goliath, who's 9 foot tall. That's a tall person. That's a tall giant. And not only that, but the proportions of his body, I'm sure, were a lot larger. I'm sure he probably had a big head. And anyway, he's getting ready to, and he's got all the pomp. He's got all the grandeur, if you will. Here's this armor bearer carrying his stuff for him. And he's coming up over to David and says this to him, listen. And when the Philistine, verse 42, looked about and saw David, he disdained him. He was offended, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. Not anything what he expected, was it? Do you know the world is not going to see what they expect in a soldier for God? And when the Philistine looked about, listen, notice in verse 43, and the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog? He was offended that thou comest to me with staves. Remember, all he had was a staff and a sling. And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Listen to what he's saying. And the Philistine said to David, verse 44, come to me and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. I wonder if he maybe felt a little bit bad and was giving him an out. If you come to me, this is what's going to happen to you. I'm giving you an opportunity. The devil, listen, you heard opportunity knocks twice, but the devil leans on the doorbell. And he gives us all kinds of opportunities to bail out on our God. To not walk by faith and trust in him. And so David says, hey, listen, this is what I'm, or the Philistine says, this is what I'm going to do. I will give thy flesh, verse 44, to the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. You're going to be animal food. Then said David to the Philistine, and you got to love this, because David knew. Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear. He's laying it out for him. And with a shield. Listen how David comes, which is the same way we should go forward in life. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day, David had no second thoughts about it. He's laying it out. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand. Who's he giving credit to? His ability? His pedigree? This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee. Listen to this. Now you gotta think about this just for a moment. And take thy head from thee. How's he going to do that? Now we know how he did it, but he had no sword in his hand. But he already knew how this was going to take place. And take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses, that's plural, right? Of the host of the Philistines this day to the fowls. He says, you are going to make me animal food. I want you to know, you and your whole army is going to be dog food or animal food. The dogs can have some too. All right. Of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth. Why? That all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. God gives us assurance when we walk with him. He knew it. And all this assembly, this is another purpose, shall know, listen, that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. David knew what God wanted everybody to know, even the Israelite army, is how God fights. Not only that, listen, God wants you and I to know how he fights. We don't need to look to our abilities, our achievements, or what we can do. We need to look to what God has promised to do. And that's what David was looking at. And so he said, I want this whole assembly is going to know that the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Now watch this, verse 48. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David. What did David do? That David, listen, hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. What did that giant think? He probably laughed, didn't he? He probably laughed a little bit. Check this kid out. Look at him. He has no clue. He has no clue what's going to hit him upside his head. Well, the giant didn't know. The giant thought he knew. You know why? Because he was looking to himself and what he did in the past. What he didn't take into account was this time he was fighting against the living God. And that's what God wants every child of God to be filled with, that when we go out forth to battle and harmless like doves and presenting the truth of the Word of God, that the enemy would be slain, and that's the devil who blinds the eyes of the lost, that they might see, listen, the grace of God in the life of the believer that brings, through the power of the Holy Spirit, souls unto salvation. It's what God's wanting to do. There is a giant out there that is blinding the eyes of those who are lost. God's plan is to use you and I as the light and the salt of the earth. That will never happen unless we can look to the Lord and not see ourselves. Self has to be dealt with. God will not use a dirty vessel. And as long as we're filled up with ourselves, we're not looking to the Lord. David was in the right place at the right time. And so he ran toward the army to meet the Philistine, verse 49. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. Face first. He did a face plant. Listen, you remember what David said, whose battle it was? It was the Lord's. You think he was worried about his skill? I'm just going to wind this thing up and let it go. God's going to deliver it. God's going to deliver it. That's like a trick shooter, you know, shooting over his shoulder behind him and hitting the target. Not because of skill, but because of his God. He had confidence in his God. Why? Because of a previous experience. God wants to give us experience that we might have a bold faith. He wants us to bring to him the battles that we're in and tell him, I can't do this. You know what our problem is? God, make me stronger. Make me stronger. You're never going to get that answered. Because God is wanting us to die to self and to be made weak that he can make us strong. That we see our dependence upon him. Do you think David thought that he was going to take care of this giant or God? Do you think David was dependent upon his skill or the faithfulness of his God? See, when we go forth and we deal with the battles that we deal with, we're not to look to ourselves and what we want to do or want to try to do for God. We need to look to our God who will take care of the enemy in our life. He will give us the victory in the battle in our lives. We can't look to ourselves. And I'm telling you, that is the greatest problem that we have as believers is the person we look at in the mirror every day. We get this crazy idea because we love God. Listen, I am convinced if you are a saved child of God, and you've heard me say this before, you love the Lord. I know that. But God is still not going to strengthen your flesh. He loves you. He gave you his son. Lord, help me to do better. You're never going to get that one. No, God, you be my strength. You'll get that one. Lord, I need you to be my victory. And don't list out to God, I need your patience, Lord. No, you just need Jesus Christ and you get it all. God doesn't piecemeal his blessings. And we're afraid to ask him for patience. We're not afraid to ask him for patience. What we need more than patience is the Lord Jesus Christ. Is our God. And so very quickly, and we're finished here. Ready? Verse 50. So David prevailed over the Philistine with the sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in David's hand. Imagine that. Verse 51, last verse. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistines. God provided for him. The Philistine had no idea the provision God was going to make for him to achieve what God had told him to do. And took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof. And slew him and cut off the head therewith. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Now listen, this is an interesting thought. You may have not noticed this before. Is the Philistine dead with the rock? Didn't look like it, did it? Look at verse 51. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine. He's still alive. He is watching God's fulfillment of what David said was going to take place. And took his sword and, listen, drew it out. This giant is watching the end coming. And drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him. That means if he was just then slain, he was still alive. And cut off his head. He slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw it, the giant saw it firsthand, didn't he? But then the whole army sees it, that their champion was dead. He just died. They fled. He was wounded. But see, Goliath had never been defeated. Do you know what the Philistines were probably thinking? He's going to get up and give this. He took a good knock on the head and he fell down, but he's going to get up. And he's going to do this young little whippersnapper in. And he couldn't move. His eyes were open. He may have been grunting. And David takes out the sword. And the Philistine watched it come. And so did the army. And they saw that the only way that could have ever happened was for the God of Israel. They had never seen this Philistine ever defeated. They never expected to see that day. You know, there's coming a day that people don't expect, and that's going to be the day when they look into the face of the Savior and every tongue will confess. But God says, I've given you a way of victory in your life today. There's a battle that needs to be fought in your life and mine for the honor and glory of the Lord. Listen, there is a battle that God expects you and I to fight in His power and in His grace, that the world might see Christ in us. God wants us to be, the place of blessing is about the Father's business. Do you want to be about the Father? Not our business, not what we want to do for God, but what God has promised to do for us and through us for His honor and glory. To the child of God, God says, come and taste for yourself. Don't look to what you've heard about in history and what you read in the scriptures. God has given us the scriptures to understand what He wants you and I to experience by His grace in our lives. And if you're here without the Lord Jesus Christ, God wants you to taste for yourself the mercy and grace and forgiveness of God to be born again and to be a child of His. Would you stand? As we prepare for the Lord's invitation, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your word, the understanding that You bring to our hearts, into our lives, into our minds. Lord, I pray that You would do Your work in our hearts and minds. Lord, if there's one here that does not know You as Savior, or more than one, I pray that You would speak to them as only You can. May we desire to see You work in our lives, that we might be the testimony You've called us to be. Bless the invitation, and we'll praise and thank You, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.